Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Little Super Stroke Land Band here. Hit it! Tower of Power Horns and Huey Lewis in the News from an album about 10 years ago. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. Folks, we have in the studio, and I am honored to have in these Sports Byline studios, Paul Gallander, the author of the Sonny Liston, the real story behind the Ali Liston fights. Paul, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
This is some of the most intriguing stuff I've ever read regarding the life, the career, the legacy of Sonny Liston, Charles Sonny Liston, of course, the former world heavyweight champion, and his fights with Cassius Clay and then Muhammad Ali, or Muhammad X there for a little while, I think his name was, talk about Ali. And, of course, you went back and you did for 35 years of research this book?
I decided a really complimentary book about Sonny Liston needed to be written back in 1977. And at the time, I really didn't know how to write. But I started doing a lot of research. I talked to a lot of people who are long since gone. And a couple of years ago, I retired from my job to finish the book because I needed to finish it.
Okay. We're talking with Paul Gallander, folks, the author of Sonny Liston, the story behind the Ali Liston fight. So I'll get straight to my questions. And I'll start off with the meat first, okay? The mob, the black Muslims, somebody kidnapped Sonny Liston's wife and held her hostage for a fight, for an Ali fight?
On the day of the fight in Lewiston.
You're talking about the second fight.
The second fight.
1965.
Right, May 25th. Ash Resnick's wife, Marilyn, who was good friends with both the Listons and Joe and Martha Lewis, could not find Marilyn. Geraldine. And she saw Martha Lewis and said, "Martha, I'm really worried. I can't find Geraldine. She won't answer her phone. This is not like her." And Martha says, "Don't you know what's happened, Marilyn? The black Muslims have Geraldine and the boy, his name was Bobby, and told Sonny if he doesn't lose the fight, he's not going to see them again." They eventually released Geraldine in mid-afternoon. Marilyn said she looked white as a sheet, and Sonny had no choice but to lose that fight. And I don't think any athlete in the world would have done any differently than Sonny Liston did that night.
I think you got a point there. So it obviously the Muslims were Elijah Muhammad and his son Herbert Muhammad, who ended up managing Muhammad Ali. They were part of the big transformation, the metamorphosis from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. But are you sure it was the black Muslims and not the mob?
Well, that's what Martha Lewis, who was an attorney, I believe she appeared before the Supreme Court. She was an extremely intelligent, truthful woman. Marilyn Resnick had no reason to lie to me. So Martha was told that by Joe Lewis himself, and Joe was told that by Sonny. Now, Muhammad Ali had no knowledge of this, and you can see it on his face when he's standing over Sonny. He's screaming up, "Get up, you yellow bum. No one will believe this." He walked back to his corner, and he told his handlers. He said he laid down. He didn't even know what hand he had landed on him until he watched the film.
Good point. Wow. I mean, that's a mind blower. So what about the first fight now? We've talked about the second fight. What about the first fight? Of course, I think it was in 1964. Was it a TKO in 8 or something pretty close to that? Sonny quit on a stool claiming a shoulder injury. And then I was told that he went into the dress room and picked up a stool or a chair with his left hand and threw it against the wall. So are my people disingenuous or wrong or what?
They're wrong. He never threw anything against the wall. Sonny was probably 45 years old when he fought that fight. He fought under a name, Charles Sailor Liston, in 1934. He lost the fight for four reasons. He was fighting a guy less than half his age.
He was born in 1934.
He fought in 1934 under the name of Charles Sailor Liston in St. Louis. And he was probably, I'm figuring he may have been 15, because he was a giant of a man. So he would have been fully grown at 15. So maybe he was born in 1919. He may have been born earlier.
What are the so-called boxing historians or the in boxing Hall of Famer and this. What do they have Sonny Liston being born at? What year?
Well, a lot of people just ignore Sonny, primarily because that second fight in Lewiston was so bad that they wanted nothing to do with that fight and they wanted nothing to do with Sonny anymore. But when Sonny was arrested, when he went to jail in 1950, the police had his year of birth as 1928. The declassified FBI files had his year of birth as 1927. I talked to Don Chargan many years ago, the promoter from St. Louis and then out in California. He's a great guy.
My good friend.
Yeah. And he said he promoted some of Sonny's fights later in his life, like in 68 and 69. And they were in the gym in Los Angeles, and all of his ringmates would be kidding Sonny about his age. Now, Sonny hated to be asked his age by the press. He absolutely hated it. But so he took it in a good-natured way, and he never responded. And Don Chargan told me one day, out of a clear blue sky, somebody asked him, "How old are you, Sonny?" And Sonny said, "A lot older than you think." Now, everybody in boxing knew Sonny was probably 5 or 6 years older than what he said he was. So for Sonny to say, "I'm a lot older than you think," is a startling admission for a guy who went to great lengths to hide his age his entire career, because you're giving away something. If they think you're 40 years old, you're not quite as formidable.
Okay, we're talking with Paul Gallander, the author of Sonny Liston, the real story behind the Ali Liston fights. Of course, you can throw your name in the hat via the Ring Talk email address, ringtalk, R-I-N-G-T-A-L-K, ringtalk@yahoo.com. Paul Gallander is our guest, folks, and I'm really honored to have him in the studio. But, Paul, I got to ask you, what kind of man was Sonny Liston? He was portrayed by the media as a guy that went around stepping on puppies. And from my contacts, like Johnny Taco and the great late Davy Pearl and people like that in Las Vegas, he was anything but that kind of guy. He was a guy that liked puppies, per se.
I don't think any fighter, any athlete ever loved children more than Sonny Liston did. And no child was ever afraid of Sonny Liston. Sonny also loved animals of all kinds. Before the fight in Lewiston, Sonny was running and he saw a bird with an injured wing. And he put the bird in his big hands and he ran back to his training site, where the bird was feasted on worms and had that crystal pure water that they're known for up there. But Sonny interrupted his training so that he could bring this little bird back to his training site to give him a chance to live. Anybody who knew Sonny Liston will tell you what he was: a much different man than people portrayed him. If Sonny got to know you, he liked you. If he didn't know you, he was very guarded, and he didn't trust anybody. But he was the life of the party when he was around his friends. I've been told by Willie Reddish Jr. and by Tommy Manning that Sonny would never pass a kid on the street in Philadelphia without giving him some money. He would never pass a beggar or a street person without giving him some money. Money had no value to Sonny. Fortunately, his wife saved some money. Otherwise, he would have probably, like Joe Louis, given it all away.
Okay, where does Sonny Liston rank as far as all-time heavyweight champions are concerned? Because he's not ranked high on anybody's list because of the negative press and him, you confirming that he threw the second Muhammad Ali fight in Lewiston, Maine, back in 1964. God, it's hard to believe it's been that long ago. 65, I mean. We're talking with Paul Gallander, folks, the author of the latest Sonny Liston book. It's a great book. He spent 35 years researching this book, The Real Story Behind the Ali Liston Fights. But where does Sonny rank as far as his legacy in boxing history is concerned?
There have been a lot of great fighters, and you can use the word great kind of loosely, but I think there are two heavyweights that stand above everybody else, and that's Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston. And I think there is a definite drop-off before you get to George Foreman and Lennox Lewis and Joe Lewis and Joe Frazier and Evander Holyfield and Jack Johnson and Larry Holmes. I think the top 25 heavyweights of all time, not all of whom were champions, were all black.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this. I was Muhammad Ali's PR guy/bodyguard for a tour through Asia in 1994. And I asked him, why did he give the Muslims, like, every a dollar? If he made a dollar, the Muslims got a dollar. It was like a 50-50 split, sort of like the Colonel Tom Parker Elvis Presley deal, which is unheard of in these days. But I asked him, why would you give the Muslims half your money? Why was it so important to become a Muslim? He said, you know, if I wasn't a Muslim, and I'm quoting Muhammad Ali here, if I wasn't a Muslim, I'd just be another retired nigger boxer.
Right.
So do you really think that?
Well, I think he was probably taken advantage of.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't want to make any enemies here, but you can say very fairly that every professional boxer is taken advantage by the whole scheme of things, by the promoters, by their management. If they survive with anything intact in terms of the wherewithal, their brains, and anything money in the bank, it's almost a miracle.
Yeah, human exploitation at its greatest. We're talking with Paul Gallander, the author of the Sonny Liston fight. Sonny was arrested at a young age, and, you know, did they really have any evidence against him on that robbery beef that was where he was arrested and he went to the pen for a little bit?
Oh, yeah, he did it.
Oh, he did.
And he admitted to it. There's the story that he wore this yellow and black checkered shirt, and he was wearing it when he did the robberies, and he was wearing it when he was arrested. And he said, well, no use crying about it now. I should have, you know, thought about what I was doing before I did it. So he did his time. He straightened out things in prison with some of the other gangs that were picking on blacks. And he promised Father Stevens when he got out that he would never go back again. He ended up going back again in 1956.
Was Muhammad Ali's refusal to go into the army or be inducted in the mid to late 1960s, what did he tell Ray Robinson about that?
Mark Cram wrote about this in Ghosts of Manila, that during that time he said, Ray, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Robinson asked, what are you, afraid to go in the army and get killed? You're afraid to go to Vietnam? And Ali kind of clammed up after that. But Ray Robinson told Mark Cram that he thought that Ali was more afraid of the Muslims than he was of going into the army.
Okay. How did Sonny Liston die in 1970? People say he had a heroin overdose, or the mob killed him, and I don't think there were any injection marks on his body. There was a little marijuana found in the house. That's what Johnny Taco told me, but outside of that, there were no other drugs found in the house. How do you think he died?
Well, I've concluded that he died of natural causes. I go through all the various reasons, and there's like four major reasons why people might have wanted Sonny killed. But Dennis Caputo, who was head of the Criminalistics Bureau in Las Vegas, was one of the first on the scene. He said it was common knowledge that Sonny Liston was doing heroin. I don't think he was shooting it. He may have been snorting it. He may have been smoking it. But we'll never know how he died.
Okay, good. Because, you know, I was of the opinion, no pun intended, that Taco told me that when he went in the house that Sonny was laying on the bed with his shorts on and they were down around his ankles, and all I could think of was self-gratification, and that he came and went at the same time from a stroke.
Sonny never had to indulge in self-gratification.
We're talking Sonny Liston, folks. I'm going to give you some information on how to get this book in just a couple of minutes in our last segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. But the book is intriguing. The man knows his stuff. He did his research. Sonny Liston, the real story behind the Ali Liston fights. Paul Gallander in the studios here at the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The Tower of Power telling us we got to have a little fun.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I made them. Yeah, I made them just like a tailor makes a suit of clothes.
Back with Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Paul Gallander in the studios, folks. This is your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, the theme of Mannix bringing us in here from the break. Now, we talked about the second fight real quick. The first fight, was it a fix, yes or no?
No, and I think you only have to watch the fight to know that it wasn't. Sonny was old. He did have a badly injured left shoulder. In fact, he was undergoing heat treatments on his left shoulder prior to the fight by Barney Felix, who ended up refereeing the fight.
Okay, let's talk about how do you get the book. What's the website, things like that? How much does the book cost?
It's sunnyliston.net. I have the hardcovers, which you can get the contact information on sunnyliston.net. They're $25.95. I'll be glad to sign or inscribe a copy. They're also available on Amazon in softcover for $15.95.
Good enough. One more time, sunnyliston.net.
Sunnyliston.net.
Well, I think this was an intriguing book. I think the revelations of the Muslims kidnapping Sonny Liston's wife, Geraldine, and things like that, and the child as well. I think that's stuff that's never come out before. There's a lot of stuff in this book. I don't want to give away the entire book, so I'm not going to pump you anymore. But the bottom line is I've had a great time, and I really want to thank you for coming into the studios today. Of course, I'm talking with Paul Gallander, the author of Sonny Liston, the real story behind the Ali Liston fights. Mr. Gallander, I thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And you'll be on tour so they can get that information where?
On my website. I'm going to Philadelphia to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Sonny winning the heavyweight title on the 24th. I'll be at Marcus Books in San Francisco tonight.
Good enough. Paul Gallander, folks. You can catch him at sunnyliston.net. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Yes, I am. The undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio wars, often imitated but never duplicated. Of course, I air on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network on Saturdays at 11 a.m. and at Sundays at 11 a.m. on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, many of these same stations. All the best to you. Much peace, much love, much respect.